Where two or more are gathered, two or more friends or family or strangers, where two or more are gathered, gathered at church, in the car, at the grocery store, where two or more are gathered on site and online, where two or more are gathered, God is here. Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are on the journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us on site or online, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website, where you can sign up for The Link, our weekly email newsletter, and get all sorts of important information about life happening in this community. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way is meaningful for you. Because of the long weekend, we do not have our usual lovingly staffed nursery care, but the nursery is open and the TV is not on, but Randy might be able to help us get it on during the opening hymn. One of the things I didn't learn how to do yet. So you can watch the service from in there if you want to. However, this is a community that we believe in all ages being able to worship together. So we anticipate lots of what? Joyful noise. And some of that noise isn't always so joyful. Robbie's having a rough morning today. But we're here for that too, because sometimes one of our young people is just emoting the way many of us are feeling. And we are here for that. Sunday school will be back next week. Miriam wants to cry too. So Miriam and anybody else who wants to join her, we're just going to sit over here and cry. A few weeks ago, the outreach team handed out $5 to everyone. If you didn't get yours, it's not too late. See me after worship or contact the church office. This is for our reverse offering, a chance to pass along peace and comfort to the world. We will be celebrating the results in worship on June 8th. So please send me an email or a note as soon as possible to let me know your plans, what you did or will be doing with your $5. Golden Tones has a concert coming up June 8th at 4 p.m. The Golden Tones are having their annual concert with the Natick High School Choir. That's right across the Common at Common Street Spiritual Center. You can see Lorraine sing with all her friends. As we prepare to light the Christ candle this morning, I invite you to settle your mind, body, and spirit, deepening your breath. Relaxing your shoulders, even letting your face smile. Once there was someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people began to follow him, but they didn't know who he was, so they simply had to ask him. And once he answered, "I am the light. The light that was once in one place at one time is now in all places and at all times. Let us welcome the light." Amen.
Good morning. My name is Heather. My pronouns are she, her, and I live a better mental health through chemistry. Please join me in the call to worship. Your response is, "God, open our minds to your love." We are smart people. We know what's going on. God, open our minds to your love. We've been to school. We read the papers. God, open our minds to your love. We've made our decisions. We've come to conclusions. God, open our minds to your love. Maybe, just for a few minutes, we can surrender our certainty. God, open our minds to your love. Amen. Please join us in the opening hymn, 98, "God of the Sparrow, God of the Whale." And you are invited to rise in body or in spirit as you are able. Please be seated. We begin our centering prayer this morning with a little bit of relevant silence. Take this opportunity to breathe deeply and feel God settle in your heart. Let us pray. God of all compassion, we're devoted to so many things: success, comfort, power, wealth. Help us instead to be devoted to what gives life: compassion, relationship, beauty, justice. Help us remember that whatever we focus on grows in this world. So may our focus be on your presence in every face and flower. Hear us now as we pray together in one voice, words taught to us by the one who devoted his whole being to you. Creator God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In a world that too often passes around war, it is a radical act to pass the peace. We do so this morning, remembering the men and women around the world serving in the U.S. military, and honoring those who have lost their lives in that service, and vowing to do all we can so future generations will not go to war. Then we'll sing our song of celebration. God's peace be with you,
and also with you.
Amen. You may be seated. Don't go away, Heather. You can stay right here. This will be short.
You can sit over there if you want. Heather. Don't sit on that. Sorry.
We can't sit on that.
No, there's a chair right there.
I'm okay.
Okay.
All right. Sorry. Our scripture reading this morning is another one of those I haven't preached on very often. It's associated with the Feast of the Ascension, or the ascension of Jesus. Remember how we read in scripture that Jesus died and then was somehow present to his friends again. Christian tradition says that Jesus stayed with his friends after that for 40 days and then left them again for good, ascending into heaven, going up into heaven. And so 40 days after Easter, that same 40 days, the church marks the Feast of the Ascension. Technically, that is this coming Thursday, but I decided to focus on it today because I figure y'all aren't going to come back on Thursday. The story is told most fully in the Gospel of Luke and is the passage that we're reading today. Jesus had appeared to his followers where they were all gathered together in Jerusalem. Heather will pick up the story at Luke 24, 44 through 53.
Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. These are our sacred texts. May we have the vision and the wisdom to live them.
Thank you, Heather. Did you already turn this down a little? Okay, good. I was gonna say, it feels a little loud for me, and I don't wanna hurt anybody this morning. Children of all ages are invited to lean in for a word for all ages. So, like I said, Christian tradition calls this morning's scripture passage the ascension. That's a big fancy word, but it generally means to go up. You ascend the stairs. And this story is known as the ascension because of that bit right at the end. While Jesus was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. This tells us a little bit about how the gospel writer Luke saw the whole universe. Earth in the middle, heaven above, and even though it's not mentioned in this reading, hell below. Now we know, because we've been to space, that there isn't some kingdom with pearly gates above the clouds. We no longer think of heaven as some specific physical place we could, like, fly to. But this story and its understanding of the world has led to some pretty interesting art. Lots of paintings, sure, but there is also a church in England with an actual sculpture on the ceiling. June, would you move the slide? You can see on the slide that those are supposed to be Jesus's bare legs from the ankles down disappearing into some bright blue clouds. And again, that's on the ceiling of this church in England. Now, I don't want to argue with art. Well, I have a lot I could say about that particular piece, but thinking about all of the art that's been done about the ascension, the way that the painters and sculptors show Jesus' feet doesn't seem very realistic to me. The feet are usually white, like Scandinavian white, like my raw chicken arm white. But Jesus was from Palestine. His skin was brown. And his feet would have been even more brown, coated with the dust of that desert land. And the artists usually make Jesus' feet look so smooth and perfect, like he just came from a spa. But Jesus walked everywhere with only, like, those ancient sandals for support. So his feet would have been, let's be honest, his feet would have been gross. Jesus' feet would have been dirty and calloused and lumpy. I wish more artists had portrayed them that way, had shown them that way. Because that would be a good reminder for all of us of how God can use our dirty, calloused, lumpy selves to bring God's kingdom to the world. Amen? Amen. So no matter what you see in art, remember, Jesus had messed up feet. But those feet brought God's love to so many people that they were truly beautiful in God's eyes. And the messed up parts of you that likewise bring God's love to the world, God sees those as beautiful too. From head to toe, God sees you as a gift to the world, just as you are. Amen. Now, with no Sunday school today, our young people are staying right with us. The TV is on in the nursery if you need it, but we welcome joyful noise. Elaine's still going to give me a little bit of music just so I can breathe for a minute. Our second reading this morning is by poet Jan Richardson. It's addressed to Jesus' followers after he has left them, or maybe to anyone who's just lost something dear. She writes, "I know how your mind rushes ahead, trying to fathom what could follow this. What will you do? Where will you go? How will you live? You will want to outrun the grief. You will want to keep turning toward the horizon, watching for what was left to come back, to return to you and never leave again. For now, hear me when I say all you need to do is to still yourself, is to turn toward one another, is to stay. Wait and see what comes to fill the gaping hole in your chest. Wait with your hands open to receive what could never come except to what is empty and hollow. You cannot know it now, cannot even imagine what lies ahead. But I tell you, the day is coming when breath will fill your lungs as it never has before. And with your own ears, you will hear words coming to you new and startling. You will dream dreams. And you will see the world ablaze with blessing. Wait for it. Still yourself. Stay." Amen. So, Jesus gave his followers a lot of instructions, both before and after his death. He told them to feed the crowds. He told them to heal the people. He told them to love each other. So on. In this morning's scripture passage, we get his very last instruction to them, at least according to the gospel writer Luke. Stay. Jesus tells his followers to stay. Jesus, somehow alive again after having been killed, has come to Jerusalem to see his friends, to review with them everything that happened in their 3 years together, to go over all the things that he taught them, and then he tells them he's got to go. But he tells them they have to stay. They can't go with him. They can't ascend with him to an eternity of peace. They have to stay alive and living to continue to spread his teachings about love and forgiveness. Now, maybe that's not so surprising that the disciples can't ascend with Jesus. But I bet they wanted to. They've all been through so much together. They know what it's like to be separated from Jesus' comforting and inspiring presence. Who wouldn't want to join him in a place where they wouldn't have to worry about the daily burdens of survival, or even worse, the harassment and threats from the authorities? But Jesus says they have to stay. And apparently that means they can't even leave town. They have to stay right in that same region where they've been dealing with grief and betrayal and violence and pain. I'm pretty sure they'd like to at least get away from Jerusalem, away from the people who killed Jesus, away from the crowds that taunted him, away from the powers that are always looking for a scapegoat. It would be a good time to get out to the countryside, find their way to more familiar territory. But Jesus tells them they can't do that either. They have to stay. Now, Jesus isn't just being mean. This isn't some like marshmallow test for the disciples to see how much self-control they have. Jesus wants them to stay for a reason. He says, according to Scripture, "See, I am sending upon you what God promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Clothed with power. That might be worth staying for. But what is Jesus talking about? Well, remember that this is the gospel according to Luke. And it was, scholars believe, written by the same person who wrote the book of Acts. And even though those two books are separated in the Bible with the Gospel of John sandwiched between, it's helpful to read them as a set. Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back. What we read this morning is the very end of the Gospel of Luke. The book of Acts starts out with recapping those verses and some administrative details about choosing a new disciple to replace Judas. And then comes the scripture passage that we're going to read in 2 weeks, which Jan Richardson also pointed to in the second reading. This is Pentecost, the arrival of the Holy Spirit, which is thought of as the birthday of the church. More on that on June 8th, if you can, wear red in celebration of the Spirit, which appeared like tongues of fire. It's that Holy Spirit Jesus is referring to in this morning's scripture reading. That's the power Jesus said God promised to send. But Jesus' followers can only receive that power if they stay right there in the city, the place where they have been scared and hurting and sad. After the 2024 presidential election, there was a big spike in people researching the possibilities of dual citizenship. Maybe it was more curiosity than actual intention on the part of many folks, and others anticipated what we've now seen, that the incoming administration would take away medical care and legal protections for groups like our trans siblings, and an option to live in another country could be life-saving. But I bet some people who were researching dual citizenship were just thinking, like, get me out of here. And as the political powers that be kick students out of the country and illegally imprison people and plan to shred the social safety net, getting out of here seems like a rather rational response. Of course, moving to another country isn't the only way out. Some of us have the luxury of numbing ourselves with technology or substances or shopping or overwork. Our bodies are here while our hearts and minds are checked out. But Jesus calls us to stay. Jesus challenges us not to run away or rest in denial, especially if we have any kind of power and privilege in a system that is hurting so many. Jesus calls us to stay in the city, wherever the place is that people are being hurt, immigrant families torn apart, and gay youth under attack. To stay awake, to truly see what is happening around us, not to drown ourselves in it, but to be witnesses to the injustice. To stay ready, to act how and when we can, which is going to be different for each of us. But if we're going to stay in this city of cruelty and pain, we'll need some other staying as well. We need to stay connected so we can help each other through this, giving each other companionship and support. We need to stay grounded in God, in breath, in beauty, in nature, whatever it is we tap into that is bigger than ourselves. We need to stay committed to joy. The powers that be want us small, quiet, and afraid. Laughter and music and feasting together are antidotes to the fear they are spreading. Now remember, Jesus told his followers to stay in that difficult and painful place. But if they stayed, Jesus promised, God would clothe them with power. And according to Scripture, they received the Spirit that helped them do amazing things together. In the same way, if we stay, Stay awake. Stay ready. Stay connected. Stay grounded. I believe we too will be able to do amazing things together. Maybe we won't all speak 20 languages or have tongues of fire hanging over our heads, but maybe we will catch a spirit that will help us move closer to the world God imagines for us, a world of justice and compassion, where there is enough for all and all creation is valued. After all, we're not going to be ascending through the clouds to some paradise, so we better work on making one here. Like I said, stay was the last instruction Jesus gave his followers, but it wasn't the last thing he said to them. According to Luke's scripture, Jesus was blessing his followers while he was lifted up to heaven. His last words were words of blessing, still pouring out even as he left them for the final time. Like the blessing never ended, but echoes on and on even to this day. It's a blessing we ourselves can offer when we stay. So, will you join me, raising your hands over this world, like Jesus did as he was lifted up, that we might keep the blessing going? I invite you to raise your blessing hands. Living God, we are trying to stay. We are trying to stay in the city of pain, cruelty, and injustice, but it is so hard and we don't know what is coming next. So pour out your spirit. Pour it out on us and on all of those who are hurting, imprisoned, afraid. We will try to stay, but it means we need you to stay as well. Stay close to us, guide our actions, and help us bring healing to this broken world. Amen. As a faith community, we know the power of connecting our hearts with God's presence. So during this time, we share our joys and concerns in prayer. Folks in the room, you'll be invited to share prayers aloud, and all are welcome to email prayers to prayers@fccnatick.org. And we hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list in the bulletin. We begin with our joys. What joys do you bring to this place today? Doug? All at your house? Wow, Tomorrow is a big birthday celebration for Doug and Sarah. At their house, there will be family really from like all over the country gathering to celebrate outside. What a beautiful day. Speaking of birthdays, Paul and I, our youngest, turned 21 today. Yep, we're that old. He had a great birthday in Valencia, Spain. Yeah. June, do you have any joys up there? What? Kim? Kim's joy is that people reached out when things are hard. Any of us can have a bad week at any point in time, but someone who reaches out to us and connects with us and supports us can make it so much better. Thanks, Kim. What concerns do you bring to this place today? Declan. Declan's friend Dylan is daring to go away for 5 days, 4 nights, and Declan's gonna miss him. And yeah, sure, we're happy for Dylan, but who did he think about Declan when he made these plans to go away? So Declan, hang on, he'll be home soon, and I'm so glad you have such a good friend to join you in playing basketball at Benham Elementary School. Thank you. Love it. Laura. So we're so glad that Charles is now out of the hospital after being there for 12 days. He's now at Whittier. And did you say you think he might be there for a month? Okay. So we're so glad that there is such a thing called premier care at rehab and that Charles is getting it. And we trust that the 24 days ahead will be full of healing, and we know there will be hard work, but hopefully also lots of connection and community to heal both body and spirit. Our prayers are with you too, Laura. Thanks. Miriam. No, I heard it. Yeah, I heard. Who is this? Your dad? Phil? Okay. Keith's dad, Phil, is in the hospital with failing health. Keith says he's also stubborn, but maybe that stubbornness is what's kept him going, right? So prayers for Phil and prayers for you as well, Keith. Bill. Peg is your sister. We're holding in our prayers Bill's sister Peg, as well as her husband Charlie. Peg's health continues to decline. This is one of those long, slow goodbyes that we hold Peg in our prayers, Charlie, as well as Bill and the whole family. Thanks, Bill. Who did I miss? Miriam. Marge. Sorry. I know. So Miriam is lifting up at the Worker Center yesterday. Did I see Miriam again? Margium lifted up that 25 families received groceries from the Worker Center yesterday. That's a joy, that kind of commitment and hard work. The concern is those families are afraid to leave their homes because they are afraid they will be scooped up by ICE. So we continue to pray not only for the families who are impacted, have been impacted, have lost breadwinners, but also for the people doing the work that is traumatizing to be helping them. Thank you, Marge. Jen. So our little friend, 3.5-year-old friend, we have gone through 6 weeks of chemo. So we've been praying for this 3.5-year-old who is living with cancer. He's made it through 6 weeks of chemo, which is amazing and terrible. His tumor has shrunk enough that he can have surgery, which will happen on June 4th. We're so grateful that he's gotten to this point. And again, it's unacceptable that this has to happen at all. We continue to hold him and his family in our prayers. Thanks, Jen. June, do you have any concerns up there?
This is from Dee Dee Bergeron, a prayer concern. In memory of George Floyd on the 5th anniversary of his murder, and for the hard and ongoing work of anti-racism in this country.
Huge thanks to Dee Dee for lifting that up. Did you have any more up there, June?
That's it. Okay. I just think I'm praying for peace for everybody in the world.
June adds her prayers for peace. I have a couple on my list. One is Strike Up the Band. Daryl, our music store is closing the end of this month. It's been a hard time for small businesses. If you are a musician or you love a musician, stop by. He's selling music and gear at rock bottom prices. So we really want to make sure that music has a home. So please feel free to stop by and see Daryl this week, and we hold him in our prayers in this time of transition. We're also holding in our prayers Karen T. We prayed for her Uncle Doug a few months ago when he had a severe stroke. Doug is now moving into hospice care, so we hold Doug and his wife Carol and the whole family in our prayers. And following on June's prayer for peace in the world, we continue to hold the situation in Israel and Gaza, watching starvation and destruction in Gaza, as well as the murder of two Israeli embassy staffers in D.C. May there be some movement toward peace in this world. All right. Our pastoral prayer this morning is a Memorial Day prayer by Barbara Peskin. Let us pray. Spirit of life, whom we have called by many names in thanksgiving and in anguish, bless the poets and those who mourn. Send peace for the soldiers who did not make the wars, but whose lives were consumed by them. Let strong trees grow above graves far from home. Breathe through the arms of their branches. The earth will swallow your tears while the dead sing no more, never again, remember me. For the wounded ones and those who receive them back, let there be someone ready when the memories come, when the scars pull and buried metal moves, and forgiveness for those of us who were not there for our ignorance. And in us, veterans in a forest of 1,000 fallen promises, let new leaves of protest grow on our stumps. Give us courage to answer the cry of humanity's pain, and with our bare hands, out of full hearts, with all our wisdom, let us create the peace. Amen. This past week, 500 flags were placed on the lawn of FCC Natick as part of the town's Mental Health Month observances. There are 100 white flags and 400 green flags representing the 1 in 4 people who struggle with mental health challenges. As we continue to fight the silence and stigma around mental health, this display in the center of downtown Natick is of critical importance. I'm grateful that once again our physical plant can itself help us live out our ministry and mission. The flags are also a sign of our commitment to collaboration. Huge thanks to Sarah Lynn, who is with her parents this weekend, for coordinating the flag display and for all her work with Natick 180. The flags outside our building are a reminder that a quarter of the people in this room and online are themselves struggling around mental health. That's why I'm available to you as a listening ear and a source of referrals. For all the ways this church supports mental well-being and your donations that make it possible, thank you. As we participate in the spiritual discipline of the morning offering, know that you are not alone. God of love, bless these gifts. May they be a sign of our commitment to staying in the world. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 230, like the murmur of the dove song. Thank you. hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the suffering. Honor all persons. Honor all creation. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the love of God, the light of Christ, and the power and communion of that Spirit be with us all. Go in peace. Amen.